Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
I am now joined by Dee Nolan, who I read an article that you wrote for Lust for Life, myself on social media. And I have to say, it stopped me in my tracks, Dee, because you were talking about your own journey with alcohol and how it had developed and what you had done about it. And it was one of the most striking and powerful testimonies I've heard. And I've heard a lot of people talk about drink, and I was really keen to get you in to talk to us. So thank you. Thank you for coming in today. So you are somebody who has talked about surviving alcoholism. And tell me, first of all, about back in the day when you were drinking, when you were young. How did it all start?
It kind of started, I think I had a problem with being me. That's what it started out as. So I was terrified of being me. I couldn't be me. I just to be in my own skin, it was uncomfortable, awkward. I felt like a giraffe, you know, just this big gangly thing. Like, I was so weird, you know. And then when I started to drink, it just cleared it all away, you know. So I felt so much better. I was part of the group, you know. I was no longer on the outside.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of the group, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people think that way. Yeah. And we know loads of people use alcohol as a social crutch.
Yeah.
And I think that thing you said about being on the outside, I think a lot of us view ourselves or believe ourselves to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Maybe we all do. Maybe everyone does. I don't
Perhaps
know.
They do.
You can't know what's in other people's heads. But I think a lot of people do. And I think that is a space where a lot of addiction and crutches and things are used.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I think part, I don't know how I even got addicted. I think it's part of me. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever get that answer, you know. But I used to always escape as a child through books. That's what I did, like, for years and years. And until I got to the stage of, drink is brilliant. What am I doing? Books, you know.
What am I doing reading
what
when I could be drinking?
Reading? This is so boring. So I drank, and I'd say for the first 2 years, it was glory. It was fun, it was exciting. I was out all the time, literally all the time. I was constantly out and I didn't think then.
Was that because maybe for the first time you felt you could fit in socially?
I was free back then. I was free. My stutter was there, but I didn't care about it anymore because I was drunk. You know what I mean?
So, and we all probably stutter and stammer when we're drunk anyway, don't we? A little
anyway.
Bit like, yeah.
So I think back then it was just so warm, hazy, exciting, the joy of it, just being part of, you know, instead of being outside of.
And
that was wonderful.
Maybe being comfortable in your skin when you were drunk in a way, like turning off the inner
critical
voice.
Turning off this, you're too tall, you're too this, you're too that. Yeah, absolutely. So it stopped all that. And I'd say back then I picked up properly at 18 and I pretty much went hard straight away. Because I just loved the freedom of it, just turning everything off.
So even in your late teens, you were drinking heavily.
Heavily.
Although a lot of people, when they're very young,
it
didn't stand out that much then.
I don't think it did. But now that I've had time, I think I drank heavier.
Yeah.
But I just didn't see it then.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I was always up for the shots and all this kind of stuff. You know,
so you're like a party girl, but that can be kind of cool in Ireland as well because we are awash with drink here.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Coming in through town this morning, I was getting all the flashbacks. That pub, I was thrown out of that pub, I was in there. Just, they're everywhere. You know, there's pubs everywhere. And it's so hard for people to actually stay stopped when it's constantly there. You know?
I agree. I totally agree. So you're now young. You're a young woman. Young women who are heavy drinkers, you can get yourself in difficult situations.
Yeah. I've been in so many situations where I have just come out of a 2 day bender or a 3 day bender or whatever it is. And I'm in this house and I just don't know anyone there. And I'm like, what doing? Do you know what I'm going to do? Get drunk. That's what I did. Because I couldn't deal with the terror and the fear and the just that crippling shame that I had to just get totally drunk again. And then I just didn't care about it. But then I was constantly drinking, you know. I just couldn't get off the hamster wheel.
How did it affect your life out when you weren't drunk, your relationships or your work, or what was the fallout for you around the drinking?
I've done a lot of damage, you know, at home, in jobs as well, because all I cared about was drink. That's all I cared about. And I pretended that wasn't the case. I really, really pretended so very hard that I'll only have one drink. I'm absolutely fine, but I'm constantly thinking one's never enough. One is never enough. I'd go into work and I'd probably still be drunk from the night before or something, and I'd spend the whole day clock watching just so I can get out. That's just the entire day. It would be like pint, pop, you know. And
yeah,
my whole life was immersed in drink. My thoughts, actions, every single thing was just drink. I couldn't stop it.
And what about your relationships with your family, your friends? Were you able to maintain them, or is the fallout there just too much?
In the family, thankfully, they're so good to me. They really, really are. And I'm totally grateful to them. Like, they've just, at the start, they were like, whoa, what's going on here? But then they totally got on board with me, you know?
Yeah.
And they're so good to me. Like, they really are. And I just get up and I'm like, I'm so grateful to have good people around me. And they are good people, you know? And I went through years of just going, they're not like me. I don't understand them. But they get me.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I know I was reading, you were saying that you had, you know, there was periods of time where you went drinking with strangers, or you said a really... tell me about going to the supermarket and like the wine bottles on sale.
So I'd go in and I'd be like, oh, I need some cheese. Pop it into my basket and I'd be like, oh, chocolate's on sale. Awesome. Just go up to the alcohol aisle and be like, oh, look, special offer on wine. 3 for 2. Pop it in for the, you know, pretending. Hoping that like there wasn't anyone just there going, she's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
And then I'd...
So pretending to buy 3 bottles because they were on sale, but actually you wanted 3 bottles anyway.
I wanted 3 bottles.
Yeah.
And then I'd have them, and then I'd have to go into a supermarket that isn't the same, just so I wasn't spotted. So I'd constantly go into different supermarkets and
you'd
stuff like that
the,
and change them around just so they wouldn't go, oh, look, here's your one again.
What was the catalyst for making you stop? What made you go, I can't do this anymore?
It was a long process. I was over in Australia because I just couldn't be here. Alcohol was everywhere and I thought, Ireland's the problem, I'm going to go away. Not thinking I'm the problem. Got back and I'd heard that my cousin was in rehab, and it just hit me in my stomach, just whacked me, and I thought...
In rehab for alcohol as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I just thought, God, if she's a problem, I must. I have to. But it took me years after that to stop.
Was it like having a mirror?
Yeah, and I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to know. I just felt so ill, and I just went out and I told myself, I'm not like that. I can stop. I couldn't. I tried for, I'd say, 3 years. And what actually got me to start stopping was I was out for a Christmas party and I had no drink. So I was brilliant. Oh, I'm so good. Until the staff left. And then I just got hammered. And I popped in to the loo and there was 3 guys that I was chatting to came outside and they had left, and I just thought, oh Dee, people can't bear to be around you, you're disgusting. And that really got me to really start looking at myself. You have such a problem here. And it took me 3 months after that to actually stop done.
So you were chatting to 3 lads and you went into the toilet, when you came out
they were gone.
And you went, I thought I was coming back out to them.
Yeah.
But they
just
left,
didn't bear to be around me.
Well, you don't know that, but they didn't say goodbye.
No, but
that's
what I thought.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm glad it happened though as well, because it got me to start stopping.
Yeah.
You know?
So you went the AA road, is that
right? I did, yeah, yeah. I put down the drink on the 23rd of March 2015. And I called up my cousin and I just went, help. And she brought me into a meeting. And I just kind of sat there and I thought, I'm not like these people at all.
Yeah.
These are all,
these are,
I just don't
these
get
are alcoholics.
It. These are proper alcoholics.
Yeah, yeah.
These have gone down bad roads. I haven't.
No, no. I hear you.
So I really struggled with it. And then I think it was a day later, I was like, I'm not like them. I spent the whole day just going, I'm not like them. I'm just not the same as them. And I turned up in a meeting. Didn't want to be there. Didn't want to go there, but I turned up there. Just sat down and I went, I'm not talking to anyone. I'm not like you people. And there was a chair. That's the guy who speaks at the meeting. He told my story. He spoke about me and I just cried and I cried and I cried and I said, I'm so like you.
How has life changed without alcohol?
I am so free. I'm not obsessed anymore. I have space in my brain now. And, you know, instead of all that time with drink, 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 now I have time for like activities, sports, back into reading, you know, all those things.
Turns out the books were actually okay.
They are fantastic.
Do you have any thoughts just lastly on the future? Where do you go from here? Because you've come such a road and it has been, I'm sure, a huge journey of growth and all those,
yeah,
those things. So it's kind of limitless now where you go. But have you thoughts about that?
I'd like to help other people, though. You know, I know what it's like to be here, to be traumatized by just whatever it was, you know, that you pick up for. And there is a life, you know, like there's always a life afterwards, and it's so worthwhile. It really, really is. I don't know. I mean, it's totally speechless now because I never thought I could stop. I never thought I could stop. I never thought. I just could cry now with joy, you know, gratitude.
Look, on that note, thank you very much for speaking to me. That is Dee Nolan. Well done. It's not an easy thing to talk to the nation
thank
about those
you.
Things, but I think it's really important. And I'm really grateful for you coming in and sharing, because I actually think, in fact, I know, and I know that there are people listening going, oh God, I'm not sure I'm ready to hear this, but this is me.
Yeah.
And I think that makes all the difference. And that's why we're here to talk about it.
Thank you very much, Ciara.
Thanks, Dee. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today on Lunchtime Live. Sean Moncrief is up next. Do stay tuned for him. My thanks as ever to Michael Quilligan on sound, to Claire Darmody, Emma Colley and Sarah Madden on the team. We'll be back, of course, with Lunchtime Live at 12 o'clock tomorrow. But from me, Ciara, have a great day. Thank you all for listening.